tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Hey, 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 it's your girl Carla Renata back for episode 97 of The Curvy Critic right here at Black Hollywood Live. If this is your first time joining us, please give me a big old thumbs up in the chat room. Join me for some conversation. Let me know that you were here. Oh, and sign up and subscribe to Black Hollywood Live so you can get notifications for when we go live with The Curvy Critic with Carla Renata. Now, last week, I was not here, obviously. I was at the Critics' Choice Awards, and I am a member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association, and we voted on the winners, or what culminated in the winners for the Critics' Choice Awards. I had so much fun, but I'm a little froggy today because I guess I was just doing way too much, and it was a little chilly when I was here last week, and so I'm a little froggy. I can't really hear myself talking, so if I sound extremely loud, that would be why, or if I sound extremely low, that would be why. But yeah, I had a great time. My other organization, the Hollywood Critics Association, they had their awards last week too. The Los Angeles Film Critics Association had their awards last week. And tonight are the SAG Award nominations. Yes, the Screen Actors Guild nominations are happening right now as we speak. They started at 5 o'clock locally. I don't think it airs here in Los Angeles until 8 p.m. But if I can find some alerts to give you a little insight into what's happening now, I will do that. So let's talk about what I think is going to win, and we'll go from there. Let me just go into the nominations, and we'll talk about it. And then if I catch somebody winning, I'll come back and tell you who they are. So this is what I am predicting is going to go down tonight. All right, so the first category that we have coming up is... Oh, and before I go into the SAG Award nominations, I have a review on Doolittle. I have a review on Bad Boys. I have a review on A Fall from Grace, Tyler Perry's new movie on Netflix, and Troop Zero. So I'll get to all of that, I promise you. But I'm going to start with the outstanding performance by a male actor in a leading role for the SAG Awards. And of the five that are nominated, I'm thinking Joaquin Phoenix may win, but again, remember that this is the actors that are voting on this. Actors will appreciate Joaquin Phoenix's performance, but they very may well go with Adam Driver. So I'm going to say the person that will win will be Joaquin Phoenix. The person that should win is Adam Driver. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a leading role. It should go to Lupita Nyong'o because she played two parts in Us. She played the protagonist and she played... Well, she played the villain and she played the victim. So that's hard to play against yourself. Like, she literally is playing against a tennis ball when she's shooting this. And that's really difficult. From an acting point of view, from my perspective, she should win. But who's going to win is probably going to be either Renee Zellweger for Judy or Charlize Theron for Bombshell. Outstanding performance by a male actor in a supporting role is probably going to go to Brad Pitt. He will win, but the person that should win is Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci came out of retirement to do The Irishman. I got ready to say Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I was thinking about Brad Pitt. But Joe Pesci came out of retirement for The Irishman. This is the first time that he's teamed up with... not the first time. Yeah, no. This is the second time he's teamed up with Martin Scorsese, or second or third time, but it's the first time I think he's worked with Al Pacino. So you got Pacino, you got Pesci, you got De Niro, you got Scorsese in one movie. This will never happen again. I think actors will appreciate that, and they may vote for him as opposed to Brad Pitt. But Brad Pitt has been overlooked in terms of awards and recognition for quite some time, so he possibly will win that category. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a supporting role. I'm very torn about this. I'm feeling like the actors probably voted for Jennifer Lopez because, you know, actors love J-Lo, but we also loved Nicole Kidman in Bombshell. We also loved Scarlett Johansson in Jojo Rabbit. And we also love Laura Dern in Marriage Story. So I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that Jennifer Lopez should win, but the person that will win will be Laura Dern for Marriage Story, because she's been sweeping the award season. Outstanding performance by a cast in a motion picture. Bombshell should win. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood will win. It's winning everything. And people, actors, seem to be in love with this movie. I was not. So there you have it. Outstanding action performance by a stunt ensemble in a motion picture. Avengers Endgame will win. Ford versus Ferrari should win. Because that racing around and all that stuff is hard to do. And it's hard to capture it on film. Driving in those cars around a track. It was fascinating to watch, in my opinion. But Avengers Endgame is a really good film. Only because it encompasses so much CGI and having to marry that with the live action that is complicated. And it's a big franchise, Marvel Cinematic Universe. People seem to love it, so it probably will win. In the television categories, outstanding performance by a male actor in a television, movie, or limited series, Jarrell Jerome is going to win that for playing Corey Wise in When They See Us. Hands down, no questions asked. Excuse me. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a television, movie, or limited series, Michelle Williams should and will win for her portrayal of Gwen Verdon in Fosse versus Verdon. She's been sweeping that category quite consistently as well. Outstanding performance by a male actor in a drama series, Billy Crudup for the morning show. It seems to be doing really well. And I haven't seen Peter Dinklage pick up anything for Game of Thrones. And this was Game of Thrones' last season. And actors really love that show. So he probably will win, but Billy Crudup should win for the morning show on Apple TV. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a drama series, Jennifer Aniston, should win for the morning show. She's fantabulous. Actors love her. She's an old fan favorite, going all the way back to Friends and some of her movies that she did with Adam Sandler. But the person that will win will probably be Academy Award winning Olivia Colman for playing Queen Elizabeth in The Crown. I binge watched that, and it was freaking fantabulous. Outstanding performance by a male actor in a comedy series. The person that should win is Bill Hader in Barry, but the person that will win will probably be Fleabag. Fleabag seems to be picking up a lot of awards. Actors and critics alike seem to love this show, so Andrew Scott will probably win for the Priest episode of Fleabag, but Bill Hader should win for Barry. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a comedy series. The person, in my opinion, that should win is Christina Applegate. She's another one. She's a darling of actors. People love her. That show is very beloved. People seem to really love it. But The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is probably going to be a toss-up between Alex and Rachel from that show against Phoebe Waller-Bridge for Fleabag. So it just kind of depends on where the actor's taste is, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say Phoebe Waller-Bridge is going to win for Fleabag, but Christina Applegate should win. Outstanding performance by an ensemble in a drama series. Big Little Lies should win, but it's probably going to go to The Crown. People are kind of over Game of Thrones. I know I said earlier that they're big fans of Game of Thrones. This was their last season. Game of Thrones has won a lot. Big Little Lies, I don't think they may have won in this category once, but I think that they should win. It's a cast full of women. It's a really intriguing show. I enjoyed it. I think that they should win, but that's me. Outstanding performance by an ensemble in a comedy series is probably going to go to either Fleabag or The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And it should win, and it probably will win. Outstanding action performance by a stunt ensemble in a comedy or drama series. Game of Thrones will win. Watchmen should win. So those are my predictions for the SAG Awards this year, 2020. Now, let's talk a little bit about Dr. Doolittle, honey. Ooh, Dr. Doolittle. There's a lot going on there. Oh, but before I go on, let me holler out to my boys, Marlon Wallace, Brandon, the real Aaron Collins. Welcome. Thank you. And Jenna James, thank you for joining me. Love y'all. And I'm glad that you agree on most of my predictions for the the SAG Awards. Glad you agree with me. Happy to hear that. All right, so going on to Dr. Doolittle, but it's simply called Doolittle. Now, what I'm going to say about this is the fact that it's a film that's produced by Universal Studios. It's directed by Stephen Gaggin, and it stars Robert Downey Jr., and it is produced by his production company along with his wife. Dr. Doolittle has been done maybe 4 or 5 times. My favorite version, of course, is the original with Rex Harrison, and then after that, the versions, the sequel version with Eddie Murphy, and the sequels to the Eddie Murphy ones are my second favorite. This, I believe, is going to run into cinema oblivion. This was easily one, and you know, y'all, I never try to poo-poo on anybody's parade or talk about anybody's film. But y'all, this film was so bad. I wanted it to be so good. I love Robert Downey Jr. I go see everything that he's in. And I usually don't say anything about him, good, bad, or indifferent. But man, I couldn't keep the faith with this one. I mean, it was, they got him talking to the animals in their native tongue, which just sounds and looks ridiculous. It's not as good as the original or the Eddie Murphy reboots that I referred to. They've got Antonio Banderas and Martin Sheen, wonderfully gifted actors who I feel their talent is being wasted in this film. And that's pretty much all I have to say about Doolittle. I wish I could say something a little more positive. I really do. But I just can't. It's just not a good movie. It just is not. And, you know, people that love Robert Downey Jr. like I do, they're going to go and see it, and they're going to go see it for him. But it's not going to hold their attention. The theme of it, the premise of it, has Dr. Doolittle becoming a recluse after he loses his wife at sea. And he just doesn't see his purpose anymore until the queen gets sick and he needs to go and help her. So that's the premise. It's not a strong premise. There are moments, you know, in there that are kind of funny because, you know, I've said on the show numerous times, if you give me a film with talking babies and talking animals, I'm there. I'm always there. But this one lost me a little bit. So again, this film was released on January 17th, this past Friday. It is produced by Universal Pictures. It stars Robert Downey Jr., Antonio Banderas, Martin Sheen, and it is directed by Stephen Gaggin. Not a good one, y'all. Not a good one at all. Next up is my boys, Bad Boys for Life. Baby, I have been waiting for this film to hit theaters. Waiting with bated breath, just waiting. I love Martin Lawrence. I love Will Smith. I talk about Will Smith here all the time. I really do. But Will Smith and Martin Lawrence can do no wrong for me if they're together. I wouldn't have cared if this movie sucked. The simple fact that they paired up to do Bad Boys one more time, I was all about it. All about it. It was action-packed. It was lots of explosions. That comedic chemistry that we love from the previous 3 versions of Bad Boys was totally there. It was totally intact. They've got that Michael Bay wide shots, overhead shots, moving shots. They make fun of themselves being a little older, being a little wiser. You know, Martin's character becomes a granddad in this version. Will Smith's character starts to, you know, toy around with the fact that maybe he ought to settle down, which is something that neither one of them were trying to entertain in the previous versions of the franchise. It's produced by Sony Studios. It's directed by Adil El Arbi. And it was just great. It was just great. There's this moment in the film that made me laugh out loud. Vanessa Hudgens is in the movie. It's got a very diverse cast. Miami is like a whole nother character in the film, which it is for the other franchises of it, 1, 2, and 3. Miami is always its own character. There's a lot of strong Latina leads and very strong in command roles. Vanessa Hudgens is like this techie person in it. And let's give it up. Let's give a clap, clap, clap to Will Smith doing his own stunts, honey. There's a moment where he is sliding on something. Yes. clap, 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 strange, strange, for what Will Smith sliding on his side, doing the little gun shoot. I'm like, well, okay, Will Smith, you better be in your 50s giving us Black Tom Cruise. I was there for all of that. Hold on, let me get a little sip, sip. I was there for all of that. But it is great. It is on its way to grossing $100 million in its opening weekend. It's doing great. And who knew? If you had told me that Bad Boys 4, Bad Boys for Life, was going to beat out Robert Downey Jr. and Doolittle, I would have been like, yeah, okay, right. You go on with that. Well, that's exactly what happened. It has grossly outgrossed Doolittle this week. I can't wait to see what their final numbers are. But it, again, opened on January 17th. It is produced by Sony Pictures. It stars Will Smith, Martin Lawrence. There's some old favorites from previous franchises of Bad Boys in there. You're going to love this film. If you haven't seen it already, run to a theater and to a theater near you and see it. You're really going to love what you see. Next up is a film that premiered at the Sundance Film Festival last year, and I'm on my way there again this year. But it's a film called Troop Zero. It's produced by Amazon Studios, and it's directed by Bert and Bertie, otherwise known as Katie Elwood and Amber Templemore Finlayson. It's kind of like, and it's streaming on Amazon right now. It started streaming on Amazon on January 17th as well. Troop Zero is like if the Girl Scouts went wrong. It's like Bad News Bears for the Girl Scouts. It's freaking hilarious. And it's all LGBT inclusive with the whole little Girl Scout troop situation happening. I love it. But the thing that really makes Troop Zero is the antagonistic, comedic, almost sadistic relationship between Allison Janney and Viola Davis's characters in this film. They are so funny. Allison Janney is like that one troop leader that's just so perfect, that has to get every little rule right for her girls, and her girls have to be the perfect little troop. They have to get all the badges, like she's that person. And Viola Davis is like, look, we're going to get these badges by any means necessary. What? It say you got to get it, do this. I'm going to leave y'all in the woods to get this badge. It's so funny. It's a very sweet story. I really enjoyed it. It's on Amazon Prime. It's directed by Bert and Bertie, otherwise known as Katie Elwood and Amber Templemore Finlayson. And again, it's starring Viola Davis and Allison Janney. Let me hop on over to my chat room and see what's going on over there. What y'all talking about? Jenna, you said that Robert Downey Jr. needs to go to his Tropic Thunder Sherlock Holmes roots. Girl, I don't know what he need to do, but oh my God, it was so bad. Doolittle should do more. No, Doolittle should do no more is what the title should be. Oh my God, it was so terrible. Do they talk Gabrielle Union's character in Bad Boys? They mention her briefly, like in a sentence, but she's not seen in this version, and they literally just mentioned her briefly. Oh, and I got some news from VV. She said that Phoebe Waller-Bridge won Best Comedic Actress at the SAG Awards. Told you, they kind of love her. And you said that, and Jenna also said she hoped Watchmen gets that last one, like I said. I think Watchmen's going to do really well. Actors seem to really like that one. All right, so I'm going to go to my next film, which is A Fall from Grace. Now, as we know, Tyler Perry brokered a multi-million dollar deal with Netflix to bring his stories there. Not stories, his films there. And this is the first one, A Fall from Grace. And it stars one of the stars of one of his shows, The Have and the Have Nots, Miss Crystal Fox. It also stars Bresha Webb, Makad Brooks, and Felicia Rashad. The premise for A Fall from Grace isn't any different than any other Tyler Perry movie that you've seen. This is the thing. And there's been this big controversy about Tyler Perry and his shows and his writing and how he needs to get a writer's room. I'm like this. Tyler Perry is a multi-millionaire. He's got so much money that he built his own movie studio. So clearly, he's making a lot of money from these shows, from these movies, from his stage plays, and he's using the same formula for all of them. And I'm like this, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If that's what's working for you, if that's what your fan base likes, if that's how they are moving and grooving with you, then why should you fix that? Why should you mess with a proven formula? So people are out there talking smack about Tyler, going, oh, you know, you should get a writer's room. Well, yeah, it probably would take the pressure off of him if he got a writer's room. He probably would have to share some of that money if he got a writer's room. But clearly, these are two things that he is not trying to entertain anytime in the near future. But what I will say about A Fall from Grace is, this is the thing. I kind of like Tyler Perry's movies because I take them for exactly what they are. I don't take them that seriously. Tyler Perry's movies are not, or the ones I've seen thus far, that's not saying they won't ever be, but most of his movies up until this point are not going to be these Academy Award winning films. That's not the lane that they fall in. They fall in a lane that is very specific for the African American audience that supports him. And that African American audience that supports him is the same African American audience that supported his plays, that still support his plays, that support his shows that are now on BET and OWN. Because now he has two shows on BET Plus, The Oval and Sisters on BET Plus. And then the Have and the Have Nots and his other If Loving You Is Wrong and a couple of other ones are still airing on OWN. You got to give it to him. This is somebody that went from being homeless to creating a multi-million dollar franchise for himself and built his own movie studio. A movie studio, I might add, is bigger than all of the movie studios in Hollywood put together. So y'all can poo-poo on Tyler Perry all you want to. Excuse me, and how he writes, but he's writing for a specific audience. If it's not you, you don't have to go see his films. But talking about A Fall from Grace, it is about this woman named Grace who's played by Crystal Fox. She's this banker. She works in a bank, and she is a middle-aged woman. She's by herself. Her son has moved out of the house. Her husband's passed away. Or not passed away. Her husband has gone on and started a family someplace else, and she got a divorce. And so she's trying to figure out what she's going to do with this second chance at life. And she's a little lonely. She shares this with her girlfriend, Sarah, who's played by Felicia Rashad. And Sarah's like, girl, you need to get out. She goes on these online dating apps. She's not meeting anybody. And then her girlfriend, Sarah, encourages her to go to a photo gallery showing where she meets this young man. And that's when the shenanigans start. It's a cautionary tale for middle-aged women who are lonely, who will take attention from the first man that shows them any kind of attention instead of having your guard up like you do when you're young. Because when you're younger, in your 20s and your 30s, if somebody's that nice to you, you got one eye open and you looking at them going, what do they want? But when you're a little older, sometimes you're not as cautious and you're not as guarded. So it's a cautionary tale in that respect. For Jasmine, the young lady who plays her, the young lady who is assigned to defend her from the public defender's office, that character is played by Bresha Webb. Now, we're used to seeing Bresha Webb play in a lot of comedies. We're used to seeing her on BET Clowning. We're used to seeing her on the sitcom Marlon with Marlon Wayans Clowning. We're used to seeing her in that regard. We're not used to seeing her in a dramatic role. But truth be told, back in the day when she started out, that's all she was doing. She was in Autumn Little after school movies where she was playing the pregnant teenager, you know, somebody that was homeless or whatever. She was that girl. And somehow her career shifted where she's now that girl that is the go-to pretty comedic girl. But now she's in A Fall from Grace. And this film, there's hardly any scenes in the film that she's not in. And I've said this before about Tyler Perry and how he shoots. He does one take. He shoots very, very fast. He can shoot a whole movie in like a week. So to shoot like that and to be able to, for you to be in a film like that, knowing that that's the process, and still be able to have a character and give them some kind of depth and some type of arc, that says a lot about you as an actress. And Brecia Webb is bringing it. She's doing some really stellar work. She's making Jasmine vulnerable. Jasmine is smart. She's got strength. She's got so many layers, and it's so wonderful to see Brecia play that type of character. Felicia Rashad, on the other hand, is playing Crystal Fox's best friend, Sarah. And if you ever saw Felicia Rashad in this play on Broadway called August Osage County, if you ever saw her in that play, that's all you need to know about what she's doing in A Fall from Grace. I don't want to tell you how that movie ends up, because baby, it has a twist that you really don't see coming. My mouth dropped to my crack when I saw it. I was like, oh, and I was screaming. See, this is what I love about Tyler Perry movies. You will scream and talk to the television screen just like you do when you're sitting in the theater watching his movies, talking to the movie screen. I love that. It reminds me of when I used to watch movies back in St. Louis. It's just a fun interactive experience. Can't beat that. And nothing can beat going to a theater to watch a movie. But, you know, this comes pretty close. This comes pretty close. I'm going to skip around a little bit, and I'm going to go into some news before I start talking about Sundance, and check back in with my peeps in the chat room, see what y'all talking about. Michael B was like, poo-poo, girl, poo-poo. Oh, no, no, no. I love him. All right, y'all, I love how y'all are keeping up with the SAG Awards and giving me some updates. All right, so we have some updates on the SAG Awards. Tony Shalhoub won for Best Actor. Okay, so for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. All right, Laura Dern won Best Actress for Marriage Story. She won Best Supporting Actress. Yes, she won Best Supporting Actress. Michael B., yes, he needs a writer's room. His new show suck. Oh, Michael B., I love you. Don't go off on him like that. That's not right. Jasmine was the best part of the movie. She was. It says, Marlon says, Tyler Perry trying to do Gone Girl. You know what? That's actually a good point. It does look a little Gone Girl-ish. Gone Girl-ish. I kind of love that analogy. It is giving me very much that. But let me go on and get into this news with y'all real quick before we continue. And thank you guys for giving me the updates on the SAG Awards, since I can't watch it in real time. Thank you so very much. I really appreciate y'all for that. All right. So let me give you a little news. So the Producers Guild Awards happened last night. And in case you're not familiar, the Producers Guild Awards, the Director Guild Awards, the awards that I've mentioned on the show previously, all of those are precursors to the Oscars, which are happening on Sunday, February 9th, right? So the Producers Guild Awards happened last night, and it picked, whoever wins the Producers Guild Award ends up picking the Oscar, the Best Picture Oscar winner. So, and it's done it 21 times in its 30-year history. That's pretty good odds. And those Best Picture films that have won a producer PGA award have been like Green Book, Shape of Water in 2018. And this year, it was 1917, which is directed and produced and written, directed, and produced by Sam Mendes. 1917 is a wonderful film. And I told y'all when I reviewed this, I am not a film war junkie. That is not my jam, but I really enjoyed this film. It was beautifully shot, but it won the Daryl Zanuck Award for Outstanding Producer, and it won a variety of different awards last night. Toy Story 4 won the Outstanding Animated. It won Outstanding Producer of Animated Theatrical Motion Pictures is what the title is, and that went to Disney for Toy Story 4. Neon won the Outstanding Producer of a Documentary Motion Picture, which went to Apollo 11, which I spoke to Todd Douglas Miller here at the Curvy Critic, so you can go back through the archives and see that interview, or I may just put it up so that you guys don't have to search for it. Succession won Outstanding Producer, HBO rather, won the Outstanding Producer Award for Succession. Fleabag won once again for comedy. Chernobyl won for limited series. It won the David L. Walper Award. If you're not familiar with who David L. Walper was, David L. Walper was the producer for Roots, the very first one when it came on the air. So that's who he is, and the Producers Guild have named an award in his honor. Outstanding Producer of Televised or Streamed Motion Pictures went to National Geographic for their project Apollo Missions to the Moon. I've talked about Leaving Neverland here. HBO won Outstanding Producer of Nonfiction Television for Leaving Neverland. Producer of Live Entertainment and Talk Television went to HBO for Last Week Tonight. Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. That's a tricky title. And the producer for Game and Competition series went to RuPaul's Drag Race Season 11 on VH1. Outstanding Sports Program went to What's My Name, Muhammad Ali for HBO. Outstanding Children's Program, of course, it went to Sesame Street, Season 49 on PBS. Outstanding Short Form Program went to Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, Season 11 on Netflix. And my girl Octavia Spencer was honored with the Visionary Award. Her and I talked about that when I interviewed her for her Apple TV project, Truth Be Told, so go check that out. Stanley Kramer Award went to Bombshell. The David O. Selznick Award went to Plan B, which is a production company that was started by Dee Dee Gardner, Jeremy Kleiner, and Brad Pitt. The Charles Fitzsimmons Award went to Mary Jo Winkler. The Norman Lear Achievement in Television went to Marta Kaufman. If you are not familiar with Marta Kaufman is the same person who created Friends and Grace and Frankie for Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, which is now airing on Netflix. And last but not least, the Honorary Milestone Award went to Ted Sarandos, who is the President, CEO, Chief Operating Officer, whatever you want to call him, for Netflix. I left one out. The PGA Innovation Award, short form, went to Comedians in Cars. I think I said that. But yeah, it's quite a situation with the PGA Awards. So now, up until last night, people were contemplating Parasite possibly winning a Best Picture. So this kind of colors and changes everything, because now Parasite might end up with a Best Foreign Film Award instead of a Best Picture Award. But then that leaves it open for Bong Joon-ho to possibly win the Best Director Award for the Oscars. But because 1917 seems to keep sweeping all over the place, it might be a little dog race between Bong Joon-ho for Parasite, Sam Mendes for 1917. I don't think Noah Baumbach is in that category. I have to go back and look. But I think it's going to be a horse race between those two. If Bong Joon-ho wins in any of the categories that he's nominated in for Parasite, that film will make history and has been making history all award season. It is a wonderful film. It is a thriller. It will blow your mind off of your head. I watched that film. I had to watch it a couple of times because it was just stellar. Excuse me. It was really wonderful. I said I was going to talk about some more news and I forgot, because that's how I do here at the Curvy Critic. Okay, so the mouse finally ate the fox. Do you know what that means? I know you don't. So let me tell you. Disney acquired 20th Century Fox earlier in 2019 for a record $71.3 billion. Well, the mouse has finally eaten the fox completely, announcing an official rebrand after its merger. 20th Century Fox is now going to be known as 20th Century Studios, and Fox Searchlight Pictures is now only going to be known as Searchlight Pictures. I assume later on down the line that probably all of that will change and they will find some way to Disneyize it. Let me take another sip. All right. Steve Martin and Martin Short have teamed up with Hulu for a true crime spoof created by my baby, my fave, Dan Fogelman from This Is Us, the NBC award-winning series This Is Us for 20th Century TV. So be on the lookout for that. And I just wanted to give a shout out to Dwayne The Rock Johnson and offer our condolences, thoughts, and prayers for him. He lost his dad, Rocky Johnson, over this weekend. His dad was a groundbreaking wrestler in his own right. He trained The Rock when he let his dad know that that was something that he wanted to do to follow in his footsteps. He trained him, and we know how The Rock turned out. But on his Instagram account last night, he said, "You broke color barriers, became a ring legend, and trailblazed your way through this world. I want you to rest your trailblazing soul, soul man." So we want to offer our condolences, our thoughts, and our prayers to Dwayne The Rock Johnson for the loss of his dad, Rocky Johnson. All right, so that is it for the news and the latest items and the reviews from me, moi, the Curvy Critic. So I want to talk a little bit about the Sundance Film Festival. I was going to do a preview, and then I decided that, you know, I'm not going to do a preview because I knew I wasn't going to have enough time. But what I will tell you, the few things that I do know about, is that Lin-Manuel Miranda is going to have a huge presence at the Sundance Film Festival this year. I will only be there for 5 days and four nights. So I leave to go there on the 23rd, and I will come back on the 27th. So I won't be here in real time next week, but I'm going to give you guys some love from Sundance, from Park City, from the mountain, tell you what's happening there, just like I did when I went to the Toronto International Film Festival. Y'all seem to like when I do those little live remotes. So I'll be doing that there. Let me see. Y'all got any more news for me with these SAG Awards? Oh, Brad Pitt just won Best Supporting Actor. I told y'all actors like Brad Pitt. Oh, yes, Brandon. I did love your Spies in Disguise drawing. It was really lovely. I thank you for supporting me, my brother. You're such a sweetie pie. All right. So let me explain to you what the Sundance Film Festival is for those of you who don't understand or don't know. The Sundance Film Festival is one of these festivals that it is a precursor a whole year ahead of time what we might possibly be looking at when it comes to award season the following year. Now, I have to say, I'm surprised that a lot of the films that I saw at Sundance last year did not make it. The one I'm the most surprised about is this film called Clemency, which was produced by A24. I just knew that when that film got released, it was going to get all kinds of mad love for the film, for its director, Chinoye Achiuwa, for its star, Alfre Woodard, Aldis Hodge, Wendell Pierce, Danielle Brooks. The cast was off the chain. The film was off the chain. It got no love anywhere, and I'm really mind-boggled by that. And I thought, instead of talking about Sundance and what I'm going to see, I wanted to, because the Oscar nominations came out last week too, and I wanted to make a couple of comments about that as well. But the Sundance Film Festival is when the award season kind of kicks into full gear all over again. Because right behind the Sundance Film Festival is the Tribeca Film Festival, South by Southwest, then comes Cannes, then comes Telluride, then comes Toronto. And by the time Toronto rolls around, we're talking about who's going to be nominated for Oscars all over again. Judy is one of those films that came out of Telluride and did she come out of South? No, came out of Telluride in Toronto, and it has been doing really well for Renee Zellweger. Judy has. But the Sundance Film Festival was started by Robert Redford. Robert Redford is an award-winning, an Oscar award-winning director, actor, producer. It was started by him. He stepped down last year, so it's going to be really interesting to see how that all fares out now that he has, you know, taken a big, huge step behind and is just letting people do their thing. So we'll love to see how that plays out. Another update on the SAG Awards. Michelle Williams won Best Actress. I told y'all she was I right on my predictions or was I right? This is the thing. If I know some predictions, I can predict somebody winning something because I watch everything. Clemency was nominated for a Spirit Award. So I'm hoping that at the Spirit Awards, they will prevail. I interviewed Chinoye on the blue carpet for the Spirit Award brunch. All of those interviews are up. You can see those there. And I love her. She knows I love her. I love her work. I respect her greatly as an artist, as a director, and as a woman of color in that lane. But yeah, that's what's going to happen with Sundance. And let me just address these Oscar nominations. I cannot believe that, you know, back in 2015 when we were running around talking about Oscar so white, hashtag Oscar so white, thanks to April Rain, we thought that because of that hashtag, we would never have to discuss that again. And needless to say, it is 2020 and we are still talking about hashtag Oscar so white. And this is why. Diversity is not a hot button topic. Diversity is something that needs to be addressed, dealt with, discussed, and maneuvered through 365 days, 7 days a week, not just when an award show comes up. That is the problem. The other problem is that we need more people of color, more Latino, more Asian, more disabled, more LGBTQ, more African American, more everything that isn't a white person behind a camera, writing a script, producing a project, being a film critic, anything. Because if you don't see us out there behind the scenes, then we can't change the lane and the trajectory or the outcome of what we're seeing. Now, I'm not bashing people because they happen to be of another hue. That's not my thing, and that's not how I roll. What I am saying is that I feel like if we had more people behind the scenes, we would see more content that includes us. Therefore, there would be more content for us to get behind and vote for and support. Now, mind you, there were a plethora of films for us to support and get behind. I couldn't believe Jennifer Lopez got dissed. I couldn't believe Eddie Murphy got dissed. I couldn't believe that it was the same old with the same old people and the same old names. And most of them were mediocre at best. Yeah, I said it. Most of them were mediocre at best. There was hardly anybody that got nominated who was giving an earth-shattering performance. Except the only person to that exception out of everybody actor-wise that was nominated is Cynthia Erivo for Harriet and Scarlett Johansson. Scarlett Johansson was in two movies and crushed it in both movies. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But since, and I see that you guys are saying to me that a lot of people didn't see Clemency. I think A24 ran out of funding or something with that film. But it's a really good film. And so was Just Mercy. I couldn't believe they didn't get any love at the Oscars either. But that's a whole nother conversation. I will talk more about the Oscars when I come back. And until then, I want to encourage you guys to finish watching the SAG Awards. Let me know who won. Let me know how you feel about who won, more importantly, so we can talk about that when I come back. I will see you at the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah next week. You can catch me right after this. I'll be doing a solo journey of the General Hospital after show for AfterBuzz TV. My boy Frank Moran got some shenanigans going on, so I'm going to hold down the fort by myself like he has done for me so many times in the past. So I'm going to pay it forward and try to hold it down myself for once. It's going to be hard, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Let me see. What are y'all saying? Oh, hi, Afro Angela. So I'm just going to give a big shout out to everybody in the chat room that I see that joined me today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Jenna James, Michael B., Marlon Wallace, Vivi. Let me see. Brandon, my baby Brandon. Jenna James, Ashanisa, Nicole, Beauty Lyles, Afro Angela, thank you so much for joining me in the chat room, for talking to me, for keeping me company. I know I sound a little froggy. I might look fabulous, but I promise you I feel terrible. And I can't hear myself talking, but thank you, thank you, thank you. I will see you next week here at the Curvy Critic with Carla Renata. I'll be over here talking about, when I come back, everything Sundance, and I will be giving you a review of The Gentleman at that time as well. Until then, love, peace, and hair grease, y'all, and I will catch you on the flip side. Bye-bye.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.